Kellogg, St. Helena, California, January 9th, 1901. My dear brother, a few days ago I sent you a copy of my diary during the week of prayer, which I spent in San Francisco and Oakland. I had commenced to write to you while there, but after returning from Oakland, I was not able to finish the letter. I caught a severe cold while I was in San Francisco. I came home on Monday. On Friday, I was unable to sit up. Sarah gave me a bath in the evening, but I was prostrated during the operation. They say that I fainted in the bathtub. Sarah and Maggie carried me into my bedroom, and Sarah watched me diligently, fearing that I should fall asleep and never waken again. Sabbath was a curious day for me. I did not seem to realize anything. I slept nearly all day, a sleep of insensibility almost. I had no pain, but was unable to sit up or to think. It is a strange experience for me to be unable to think or remember. I have not joined the family circle for nearly a week. I did not wish to expose the other members of the family to the influenza which was upon me. I spent a part of yesterday on the lounge, but letters came demanding an immediate answer. I told Sarah what to say, but for fear that I had not looked at the matter in all its bearings, I went over it myself, asking the Lord to impress my mind by His Holy Spirit. Why will our brethren and sisters bring their troubles to me when the dear, patient Savior has invited them to come to Him? This has never been so strongly impressed upon my mind as it is now. How sorry it must make our compassionate Redeemer when His people turn from Him to lay their burdens upon human beings! He has never disappointed them. Oh, why will they show such marked distrust? How much they lose by their unbelief. Sister Burnham is with us for a few weeks to help us in getting Testimony 34 ready for publication. May the Lord give us wisdom, is my daily prayer. I wish to say a word about the sanitarium here. I have not much hope for the success of this institution until more thorough work is done within its borders. It seems to me, with the present inexperienced staff of officials, the institution will never have vital success. I am distressed beyond measure as I see the inefficiency. The present force may do their best, but they have not the experience of years, and I fear they are not controlled by the Holy Spirit. They may keep busy, but that is not all that is needed. The retreat needs proved, practical men, not striplings, but men who have put away childish things. As I have traveled from here to Oakland on the cars, I have heard remarks made with reference to the retreat. I heard not long ago a conversation about a sick person who is at Vallejo. Someone asked why he did not go to the retreat. The answer was, his funds were low, and the prices at the retreat are high. The facilities there are not the best. The physicians are only boys and do not seem to possess depth of experience and wisdom. I thought, said one, that if this were the case, I would not go there, although the atmosphere on the hillside is splendid. As I was coming from Oakland a week ago, a Sister Thompson made herself acquainted with me. She told me that her brother had been a missionary in Chicago and had died there while caring for the depraved and corrupted. He contracted a disease from one poor, wretched creature and lost his life. Oh, she said, he was such a good man and could do so much, but he thought that this was his work. I remembered the case. Sister Thompson said that she was not free from disease. She wanted to go to the retreat, but her sister at Vallejo, whom she was visiting, said that the retreat was nothing in comparison with the Battle Creek Sanitarium. There were not many facilities or conveniences, and the physicians were but boys. We needed brother and sister Cress here. But they were needed also in Australia. What shall we do? In the night season, I am going over this ground, telling what could be done. But when I look upon the men here to do it, a hopelessness comes over me, and I feel like weeping bitterly. How long shall we stand in the do-nothing position we are in? The men we have here have not the proper qualifications to make the needed changes. Dr. Sanderson is a man who could accomplish a good work in connection with brother and sister Cress, but never, never, never alone. He has not the makeup of character to warrant the hope you expressed regarding him, unless the transforming power of God shall create him a new man. In connection with physicians of a different makeup, he could act a good part. But where are our directors? Where are our managers? The physicians here have not the wisdom to plan. Now I have said enough on this point. More would not help the matter. I have conversed plainly with Dr. Sanderson, and have said everything but that which I shall not say unless compelled to. You are not qualified to be managing physician of the retreat. A physician is needed who has qualifications altogether different from those which you possess. You do not move onward and upward in progressive work. Years ago, I wrote out the showing at the retreat. I have these testimonies in my possession, but did not feel at liberty to read them, lest I should judge of the present by the light given me of the past. But now that the matter is more clearly defined, I see that these testimonies are an index of the present situation. I will now hunt up these testimonies and read them through carefully. They were given when Dr. Maxson was at the retreat. Had he received the light given, had he placed himself submissively in the hands of God, he would have been fitted up for the work. But Dr. Maxson's will was like granite. He would not give in. He will surely feel the consequence of his rejection of the word of the Lord. The case at present is as hopeless as possible unless a different staff of management is appointed. Something must be done, and that without delay.
Can you not send us a physician who can take up the work and carry it forward solidly? Brother Burden's qualifications would have been of great value here. But when he was connected with the retreat, his labors were not appreciated. He was regarded somewhat as Ahab regarded Elijah when he asked him, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" 1 Kings 18, verse 17.
We knew that we could not change the sentiments of those at the retreat regarding Brother Burden, and that Australia greatly needed him, so we reluctantly let him go. December. January 10th. I wrote to St. Helena this morning. The fog has cleared away, and the sunshine is warm and health-giving. The carriage you sent me has come, and with it two folding tables, all of which we greatly appreciate. The carriage is in the shop, being put together. Later. The carriage is in good condition. Sarah and W.C. White rode up to the sanitarium in it this evening. I shall ride in it today, and then I shall be able to speak about it from experience. We thank you for sending it. Lately, we have had some very heavy frosts and more fog than I have ever known in California. All say they have never seen so much fog in this part of the country. But I think we shall soon be able to sing when the mists have cleared away.